Hear myself hardly. What will I do? What will I say when life seems cold and you're so far away? How can I?
Wonderful. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you we can come straight in and worship you. We don't have to wait till 11 o'clock worship hour. You ride around inside us. I don't know why, but I thank you. I thank you we can worship you anytime. We love you, praise you, adore you. God, thank you. We're going to worship you as the Creator God. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Now, senior dinner, Tuesday, day after tomorrow. Sign-up sheets out there on the bulletin board. It's about as crooked as I am, but you'll probably figure out somewhere to put your name there. It's at 12 o'clock Tuesday. I don't know the menu, but seniors, come on out. It'll be something. It'll be good. Been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help with it, get you one of these, and the Lord will bless you for it. Now, last week we had fun looking at, we got introduced to the first two chapters of Genesis, and today we're going to try to introduce the whole Bible. It's not confusing at all, but we're not just starting the book of Genesis. We're starting the whole Bible over. I scared a couple people when I said it'd take us 10 years. It'll just fly by. It won't be that bad. It'll just fly by. Now, on your handout, on the back page, there's so much stuff to go with that we saw last week. That video was a little bit old. 10 years ago. Some said, I've seen that before, and it was 10 years ago, right here when we started Genesis, or that's probably where they saw it. But here's some other helps, like this Genesis Science Network. That goes on 24 hours a day. Sometimes we'll watch it at the house, just let it run. And I just watched it the other day, about 10 minutes. They put me onto another site called Creation Training. .org. It looked like it was going to be great, but I highly recommend this Genesis Science Network. They'll change gears about every 10 or 15 minutes. Like I watched one, and they took the caribou, that elk from up around Alaska, and showed how just the caribou proved there couldn't be evolution. The caribou had to be created in one day. He's got like spatial eyes. He can see through the snow and know where the grass is. If he didn't have that, he'd die first day. Same way, I watched the same thing on there about a woodpecker. He's got so many qualities. That tongue comes out here about that long and rolls around in there. And he's got a shock absorber where he picks that hole in there. So if it, he could not have evolved. It's impossible. He had to be created in one day. And they just got stuff on top of stuff on there like that. And then the other day, Kim and I watched this documentary. Sort of. It's Genesis Paradise Lost. It was part one. It lasted an hour and 45 minutes. It was tremendous. Brother Carl Johnson's always telling me about this Brother Hovine, and he was on there. He was on there doing some good stuff. There's another Genesis full movie. It's 3 hours. Now, I haven't previewed that. I don't know if it's good or not. And I don't know if all this stuff is King James. Then here's a book. The last time we went through Genesis, Brother Tom bought us a whole carton of them, a whole case of them. I think they were $1.50 then. This one says $10.95. And I'm not sure if they're still in print, but I put all the information out of it on there, and maybe you can find you one. They're well worth it. I'll give you a book report on it. What it says is the evolutionists, the scientists that study the rocks, they know there's something wrong. But they don't know what it is, but they think the scientists that study the ocean got the answer. The evolutionists that study the ocean, they know there's something wrong. They don't have the missing link, but they think the scientists that study the rocks got the answer. The scientists that study the rocks, they know they don't have the missing link, but they think maybe the scientists that study the stars got the missing link. And that just, it goes in a circle, and that's about what it says. There is no proof. There is no proof. You got to have a lot of faith if you're going to go with evolution.
Right.
You're going to have a lot of faith, a lot more than I got. And then you could look up Ken Ham or the Ark or any. There's so much more information like we saw last week. That's a fun time all the way around. Now let's look at this. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Last week we looked at Genesis. It's the first of the 66 books. And today I'd like to talk about the Word of God. Here's something that... the question is, why teach the Word of God? Why read the Word of God? Why learn the Word of God? Why do we have Sunday school around the Word of God? Why do we come on, some of us come on Thursday nights to learn the Word of God? Why would we do that anyway? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Here's something we don't think about a lot, but in the Great Commission, 28:19-20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach." So, right here's a command. We all know about the going and getting them saved. Here it says, "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching." So, in the Great Commission that we're really studying about on Wednesday night, it commands to teach two times.
Right.
Two times we got the word teach in the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Teaching. The living word and the written word. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, the main reason Brother Rick has Sunday school is to cultivate a love for the Word of God. That's my purpose. That's my goal.
Right.
And therefore, in the end, we're going to love Jesus.
Right.
We're going to love the written word, and then we learn how to love the living word. And it's really easy. There's a couple of requirements to teach or learn or study the Bible, but they're really simple, and everyone in here can do it, and I hope already has. But number one, I need to believe it. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Why would I believe it, Brother Rick? Well, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
The Bible's wonderful. I just go ahead and believe it.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. You know, we talked about that at Old Western, the rifleman. Mark, I think, was the dad. Marcus was the dad. Mark was the son. And there was a sideshow, carnival come to town, you know, and they had the wild man of Borneo, wherever he's from. The boy went in and saw it, and he'd come out. He said, "Dad, do you think he's really from Borneo?" He said, "I don't know some, but it's a lot more fun if you believe it." I'm just telling you, you'll have a lot more fun. You'll enjoy life a lot more if we just go ahead and believe it.
Amen.
The number two thing I'm supposed to do, now this is not near as easy, I need to obey it.
Yeah.
See, y'all wouldn't listen to me if last night I was out robbing banks and stuff. If I hadn't read it all week, you wouldn't be listening to me. Now, a lot of this is review, so I'm going to go through some of it fast. I got a verse for all of it, or verses for all of it, if you want to. And then, why study the Bible? Why teach the Bible? Well, to be blessed. We just read that in Revelation. Read that book to be blessed. And it applies to the whole book. Number two reason. How about for my learning, my patience, my comfort, and my hope? We find that in Romans 15:4. We've been over that many times. And how about Hebrews says, I ought to.
Yeah.
Number three reason. I'm going to study it and read it and learn it because I ought to. That's what Hebrews said. Take the more earnest heed. Then number four reason. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. To show thyself approved. One word command, study. Pretty simple. I ought to. And then let's look at Acts 4:4. I've got several verses for this. How about to increase my faith? You know, Romans says the only place you can get it is through the Bible. Therefore, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How about Acts 4:4? Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Well, what about those that didn't hear the word? We'll go ahead and tell you they didn't believe. I want to get here where I can hear the word. It's going to increase my faith. That's the only thing that will increase it. The only one thing that will increase my faith. It's the Word of God. We're talking about why study the Bible, why read the Bible. How about for a good testimony? That's in Acts 4. How about not to be deceived, not to get tricked by a false doctrine or whatever? That's in Timothy. How about because it's the Word of God? That's number eight reason. to study the Bible, learn the Bible. Because of the value received, Isaiah says. Because of the value received. Again, some of that peace and hope. Joshua said, for success. For success. Then thou shalt have good success.
Yeah.
That's what he said. After you get in there with the Bible. How about because it's eternal? It's the only thing you can see that's eternal. Now, my soul inside, my spirit's eternal, but you can't see that. I'm not eternal. This body's going to perish. But that book's the only thing eternal that you can see. Because it's eternal. How about to please God? John 6:63, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what I do. Well, let me just ask you, where is God anyway? Where's He at? Well, He's with the Savior. We know that. He's with the Savior. And He's in the praises of His saints. I think His psalm says He lives, He habitates in the praises of His saints.
Yeah.
So we can go ahead and start praising Him. But that's not all. He lives in the pages of the Scripture.
Yeah.
I get in here, I'm going to find Him. You're going to find God. You're going to get in there and God's going to be there. That's why we study it. That's why we read it. That's why we learn it. Because God's in there. Let me ask you this. What did your Bible cost you? Brother R.C., we still need to get together. I told him this week I was going to hold up that new Bible, or you'd let us touch it or hold it, feel it or something. What did your Bible cost you? You know, the Lord wasn't the only one that died for us.
No.
There's a lot of people died so I could have a Bible today.
Amen.
It wasn't just one. What if you did not have one? What would you give for one? What would you give for a Bible if you didn't have one? Some people's walked a long ways.
Yeah.
What would you take for yours?
Yeah,
would you?
No money can buy it.
Huh? You wouldn't sell it?
No.
We do not worship the Bible, but the Savior that wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Savior that wrote it. That's why we're talking about why study the Bible, why learn the Bible, why teach the Bible. And we're trying to start into the Word of God. The Bible is still the best-selling book year in, year out. As far as I know it is. Reading it has inspired men to lives of sacrifice for their fellow man. The Bible. The Bible's where you find Jesus. The Bible's a schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. That's how I got in. The Bible. The incorruptible Word of God. Someone opened it up and showed me Jesus. They said, this is what you need. You're lost. You're wicked. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. You need a substitute on Judgment Day. That's how I got in. That's how I got in. We learn the Bible because of its unity. It's got a five-point unity. It's structure. It's historical unity, prophetical unity, doctrinal unity, and spiritual unity. It was written by 40 inspired authors over 1,500 years, and it still agrees with unity. It claims to be and it proves to be the Word of God. No contradictions.
Right.
No contradictions. What if a publisher asked you to write a book that sections would be translated into 1,100 languages, influence 75 countries constructively, not destructively like Karl Marx's book or Darwin's book, not like that. No, constructively, not destructively. On 5 continents, 13 million copies distributed overseas in 1 year, 2,600 parts of which are distributed every hour of the day around the globe, never off the printing press for 400 years. Could you write a book like that? In Bible class one day, one student said, oh, anybody could write the Bible. Man wrote that. God didn't write it. And the professor would give him a pencil and a sheet of paper. He said, well, tonight you write me a chapter. He come back the next day. He said, nobody can write the Bible. Nobody. Nobody. Number 14, reason to study the Bible, learn the Bible, teach the Bible. How about because of the devotion it inspires? Let's just read a little bit of that in Hebrews 11:33. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion on me and my... I'm not in 11, that's 10, I'm sorry. Chapter 11, Hebrews 11, 33, let's try this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent to fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What if they didn't believe? What if they didn't believe and it wasn't passed on? Well, what if we don't believe? What if we don't pass it on? The Lord's counting on us to pass it on to the next generation. We need to study. I don't need to just do this every day. Oh, I'll read this. I believe I'll read this here today, this verse today. I'll read here tomorrow. No, He's interested in me studying it systematically, going through and learning the Bible. Some say the main thing is souls. And I've said that. But you know how we know that? It's Proverbs 11:30, which that's part of the Bible that said, it says, he that wins souls is wise.
Right.
And some people say that prayer is the main thing. I've said that a different time. But the truth is, you wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Word of God, because it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says pray without ceasing.
Right.
And some people say going to church is the main thing. I've said that. But you know, I wouldn't know that if the Word of God didn't say in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We're talking about why study the Word of God, why read the Word of God. How about because of its people, number 15. If you ask for one word that proves the Bible's true, I know some of you know what it is. What is it? How about the Jew?
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. The Jew. Israel was a nation. Then they were dispersed over the face of the earth. 2,000 years later, they become a nation again. Just like the Word of God said it would happen. And it's never happened to any other nation in history or any other group of people. But God said it would. And it happened just like He said it would.
Think about that.
A German encyclopedia said, in less than 100 years, the Jewish problem will be solved. Well, I didn't know it was a problem. Number one, did you? But since that time, Israel became a nation again. Never happened in human history. And that nation was dispersed, just like we said, and then become a nation again. Number 15. Number 16, J. Hudson Taylor founded his life and work on three positive facts. Number one, there's a living God. Number two, He spoke in the Bible. And number three, He means what He says, and it will come to pass.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin said, cultivate an acquaintance and a firm belief in the Scriptures. Astronomer Sir John Herschel said, all human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more and more strongly the truths of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible's true. You can count on your Bible.
Yes, sir. Brother,
you can depend on it. Theophilus Parsons, Chief Justice of Massachusetts, said, I've examined and weighed the proofs and objections to Christianity for many years with the accuracy of a lawyer. And the result has been an entire conviction of its truth.
Yeah.
The truth. You can trust your Bible. You can trust it because of its agelessness. It's always fresh, more up to date than Monday morning's newspaper. Tomorrow morning's newspaper, this is more up to date and ahead of the newspaper tomorrow. Because of it, the redemption it offers, Romans 1:16, the power of the gospel, the TNT, the dynamite of the gospel. I'm sorry. A missionary in China read Romans chapter 1 to a crowd, and a native complained. He said, "That foreign devil came to discover our secret sins, write them in a book, and then read them out loud in public." In Greensboro, Indiana, a fellow stole a book out of a bookstore that Lee Wisner owned. And a little bit later, he received $2 in the mail to pay for the book. The thief confessed his theft and mailed back the money to pay for the book. And it was a Bible that he stole. The other book's not going to do that. One little girl loved to play church. She had her song service and prayer and preached from John 3:16. "Ye must be born again," preached herself under conviction and got saved. Because of its certainty, that's number 17. Number 18, because of its transforming power, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature."
Yeah.
"Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." D.L. Moody, challenged by an atheist on the West Coast to a debate. And Moody said if the atheist would bring 5 ex-criminals, ex-alcoholics, ex-dope addicts, ex-derelicts who had been liberated by atheism, D.L. Moody said, "I'll bring 100. You bring 5, I'll bring 100. Every 5 you bring, I'll bring 100. And the guy said no. Called it off. It didn't want no part of it. How about number 19 is because of its whosoever will. See, anybody can get in. "None are excluded thence, but they who do themselves exclude." How about because of its personal redemption? Job 23:12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandments, from thy commandments. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." More than beans and taters, not more than ice cream. More than my necessary food. More than my necessary. Yeah. "Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. These are married and no man shall part, dust on the Bible and drought in the heart." Maud Fraser Jackson wrote this poem. "What if I say the Bible's God's holy word, complete, inspired, without a flaw? But let its pages stay unturned, unread from day to day, and fail to learn therefrom God's law. What if I go not there to seek the truth of which I glibly speak for guidance on this earthly way? Does it matter what I say?" Number 21, why study the Bible? Well, where is it anyway? The Lord said it'd be around here somewhere. Where's it at? I hope it's on your lap. I hope you got your own personal copy. He said it was going to be here. He said not a jot or tittle would pass away. That it's going to be here. Heaven and earth pass away, but not his word. Not his word. Let's look at Isaiah 40:22. Isaiah 40:22. "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." That was written a couple thousand years before Christopher Columbus was born, but yet he believed it and found out it's true. There's a revival of flat earthers today. I think I've talked to a couple of them. I think we saw some of them last week. I'll cheer up a little bit. You're supposed to be happier now that you believe the Bible.
Yeah.
Leviticus 17:11 is written 3,000 years before man discovered it. Leviticus 17:11. but it's still true. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You go to the doctor today, probably the first thing they're going to say is, we need to do some blood work. See how you're getting along. Pull that blood out. See what's wrong with it. What's right about it. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's true for the soul too. That virgin birth, that God's blood that came through, it cleans your soul. The life, the eternal life is in the blood also. Job 26:7 was written 3,500 years before man discovered it. Job 26:7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Psalm 8:8. Lieutenant M.S. Murray of the U.S. Navy was sick in bed, and he asked his daughter to read to him out of the Bible. And she was reading Psalm 8, and down at verse 8, she read, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. And he said, read that again. And she read it again. She said, he said, if I get off this sick bed, if there's paths in the sea, and I'm going to find them. God said there's paths in the sea, and I'm going to find them. And he found them, and shipping companies gave him $5,000 for all the money they saved him, saved them, so they'd be sailing the right direction and not against the current. Millard Fillmore recognized him in his annual contribution speech to Congress, and this is around 1850 that happened. See, whatsoever the Bible says is so.
Yeah.
You can trust your Bible. You can depend on it. Number 22, why teach the Bible? Why learn the Bible? How about because of its survival?
Yeah.
Voltaire swore he'd read the Bible of the Word of God, but he expired, and after his death, the Bible Society used his house to store Bibles in.
Yeah.
The Bible's going to be here. Number 23 is because of its prophecies. Now, that's your homework. That's your handout. It's on your paper in front of you. And I didn't figure you wanted me reading all those verses. But you can look up that Old Testament where the Lord was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And then in Matthew, it happened. And then he's going to be betrayed by a friend in Psalms. In John, it happened. And now, there's only 24 on this paper, but really there's more than that. Like Zechariah here, number 3 says, that's really 5 predictions, I think. That the Lord will be sold for 30 pieces of silver, the money be cast down to the potter in the house of God, and to buy a field. In Matthew 27, it's fulfilled. There's supposed to be 33 prophecies fulfilled in one day, the day Jesus died.
Right.
33. In his lifetime, he fulfilled 333. Now, I know that's a lot of threes, but that's what we're told on Thursday night. I haven't counted them yet. But John, and we keep talking about that guy. I'm going to go ahead and tell you his name. It's John Yates. John Yates says in Jesus' lifetime, he fulfilled 333 prophecies. I haven't counted them. I haven't counted them. But here's some more threes. All those prophecies on your paper, the chance, just on chance that all that would happen is 1 in 33 million that all that happened together. It's about like that hurricane going through a junkyard, and after it passes through, there sets a 747 jet fueled up, lights blinking, ready to go. It's about like something like that happening. Part of man's predictions are partially fulfilled. All of God's predictions are completely fulfilled. Prophecy fulfills and proves God's inspired word is infallible. Let's read that Deuteronomy 18:20. But the prophet which shall presume presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. This is God talking. Or that shall speak in the name of other little g gods, even that prophet shall die. Graveyard dead. Boom. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word, which the big L, capital O, capital R, capital D hath not spoken? Verse 23 is the answer. That's a question. 23, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, the big Lord, the Creator God, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. God's prophecies come true 100% of the time, all the time. Another example is Micah 5:22. I think you can add this to your list there in your 33 prophecies. See, there's several Bethlehems, but Micah said it would be Bethlehem of Ephrata. I think there's five Bethlehems, but he got it right. God got it right. Isaiah 43 said it would be a forerunner. Isaiah 7:14 said it'd be a virgin birth. And again, John Yates told us, reminded us, again, that miracle was in the conception, not in the birth. Maybe Jesus was born like other babies are born, but his conception is the miracle.
Right.
Because that's
right.
God's blood. That's God's blood. Then Zechariah 9, the Messiah's triumphal entry into Jerusalem is another one of those. And then number 25 might be my very favorite. We'll quit on this just a minute or two early. 2 Samuel 12. Verse 9 and 10. 2 Samuel 12. Verse 9 and 10. Now, David has messed up here. And Nathan's telling him about it. God's telling him about it really through Nathan. And verse 9 says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah and the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now verse 9 says, thou hast despised the commandment. Verse 10 says, because thou hast despised me. Verse 9 says, thou hast despised the commandment.
Right.
Verse 10 says, thou hast despised me. Verse 9 says, thou hast despised the commandment.
Right.
Verse 10 says, thou hast despised me. Let me ask you, is the opposite true? What if I love the commandment? Do I love the Lord?
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.